1 Peter 2:6. 1 Peter 2:6 is where we'll start tonight. And we'll begin in verse 5. Ye also, church, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for, again, this time of year, as has been mentioned already. There's this time of year, some people are just seems to be more open maybe to spiritual things, and we're thankful for that, God. And, Lord, it's a wonderful time to sing praises to your name, and we love the songs of Christmas and of your coming, God. And Father, just bless our worship of thee tonight. And we are humbled at how much you love us, and knowing the story of Christ, the gospel story, we knowing the one who became poor that we might be made rich. And Father, we're so blessed. We're so thankful. Lord, I ask for the filling of your spirit, and Lord, be with us tonight. Help me to minister the word tonight, and be with each one here tonight, Father, and speak to us. Draw us closer to you. I thank you for the good services this morning. I thank you for all that came. I thank you and praise you for the working, moving of your spirit. I thank you for the privilege we have together to be, God, the elect in this time. In the sense that you've called us. And so, Father, we thank you, we praise you, bless and help in our study tonight. And Father, we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We have taken the time on Sunday nights to begin studying this idea of the elect as in relation to the theological definition of the elect that you'll often find out there, compared to what the Bible actually teaches and says about the elect. You'll find this theological definition goes something like this. I think if you look up the elect online, one of the first things you'll get is John MacArthur's website, and he'll have a sign up there, and the definition of elect is, I'll have to paraphrase it, don't remember the exact words, but it's the means whereby God chose to save some before the foundation of the world. And when he did that, he gave them an irresistible grace, came upon them, and they had to believe, and he put them into Christ. And so he chose to save some, and chose just not to save others. All those he chose to save will be saved. Impossible for those he's not chosen to be saved to be saved. And that's the theological definition of elect that you'll often read. Matter of fact, I had my phone out the other day, and I was, you can get those Bible programs on your phone. And they are good for some things. You can look up some stuff fast. But even in some of the lexicons, you see this Calvinist definition slipping into the new lexicons and stuff. They had that kind of definition in part of one of the phrases of elect there. And I recognized all the other parts of the definition they had from other lexicons and studies, but they had that one. It was like a point B under one of the points, the means whereby God chose to say, So it's slipping into lexicons as well. You need to study the word, amen, and be aware of that. I'm not sure what lexicon that is that particular Bible program uses, but I frankly wasn't surprised to see it there. I've seen it other places as well. But we're just comparing, okay, well, let's look what the Bible says about elect. By the way, this is our final authority right here. This is our final authority. This tells us what truth is, reveals truth is. This is the living Word of God, the preserved Word of God, and we have that for us, we believe, in our King James Bible. And we've seen in our study that Christ is God's elect servant. Matter of fact, in our English Bible, it's the first time we find the use of the term elect, is in Isaiah 42:1. Behold, my servant in whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. And that's a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we began tonight with 1 Peter 2:6, just to remind us that Christ is the elect, is still the elect. He is the elect cornerstone and precious. And so we are thankful for that. We saw that Christ is the elect. And we saw, obviously, that his being elect has nothing to do with salvation. one being saved. He is the Savior. He had no need of saving. So it had nothing to do with salvation. We saw Israel as God's elect nation in the Old Testament. They're referred to as the elect in Isaiah 45:4. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect. I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. And so, of course, God there is talking to Cyrus, whom he would use to bless Israel, his elect. He would use Cyrus to free them and help them get back into the land there, along with some other kings. But Israel, God's elect nation, again, nothing to do with salvation in making them God's elect nation. He brought a lot of spiritual things through them. Being an Israelite, promised not one single person salvation. Had nothing to do with that. They were elect for earthly blessings and for things that God wanted to do upon the earth through them. We saw that elect many times in the New Testament. Matter of fact, about half the time the term elect is used in the New Testament, I didn't count them up, but I was just looking at them earlier, and are in the Gospels, and Jesus spoke of the elect, and of course the disciples would have understood that to mean, at that time they knew two definitions of elect in the Scripture. One was Messiah, and the other was Israel. Well, they were talking to the Messiah, so he wasn't talking about himself, so they would have understood in the Gospels that when Jesus spoke about the elect, he was speaking of Israel. And of course, as we studied the Gospels, we realized he was speaking of Israel in the future times, saved Israel during the tribulation and such, how God would gather them and prepare to use them for their special purpose in the millennium, immediately following the tribulation period. So we saw that. And studied that a bit as well. And tonight we see, we're going to see that I started there with the Messiah, because that's the place. I think that's the only place that I know of that he is referred to as the elect in the New Testament. So, but he is referred to once again. We have it once in the Old Testament. We have it once in the New Testament that Christ is the elect, referred to specifically as the elect. And he is God's chosen servant. But we also want to see, and we'll see tonight, that we, the church, are referred to as his elect. Now, what is elect in the Bible? Is it elect to salvation? No, it is elect. It is elect to a task. It's elect to a task or purpose. Chosen or elect to a task or purpose. Elect has the kind of meaning of chosen. Elect to a task or purpose. With favor and honor to go along with that task or purpose given. That's what elect is. And that's what we find it to mean in all the context that we've studied in thus far, okay? That's what the Bible tells us, and that's what we see from the Bible. So far we know we looked at even Romans 9 and the Calvinists used the election in there. We saw that election has nothing to do in any one of those instances in Romans 9. Does it deal with one's personal salvation? Not a single one does it deal with one's personal salvation. God was comparing how God elected Israel as a nation as to how he saves people in the New Testament. Paul had just taught, here's how people are going to get saved. Here's how you'll become part of the elect, is what he was teaching. And then he taught them a comparison about that those truths to teach them in Romans 9, that they should have been receiving those truths that he taught from their own history. All right, so we see, we're going to see tonight a few passages that that we as God's church are elect. And we'll begin in Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's writing to who? He's writing to the saints that are at Colossae. That's the church in Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We see that. Look on to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9. Now who's he writing to? The church, all the saved in Colossae. Lie not to one another. You put off the old man, verse 9. Verse 10, saying, and you put on the new man, which is renewed the knowledge and after the image of him that created him. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, what's it say? As the elect of God, holy and beloved. Now, notice that. Put on as the elect of God. What should the elect of God do? We ought to do what he, just what he says there. Now notice what he says. Put on as the elect of God, comma, holy and beloved, comma. He's speaking of the elect of God. Who are the elect of God? They're the holy and beloved. By the way, a lost person is not holy and beloved. Okay? You see, you become the elect of God in this dispensation after you receive Christ as your Savior. Then you become the elect of God. You're holy and beloved in the beloved. And by the way, you are not, you're not holy and beloved in the sense that that's used there before you're saved. God does love you. And God does want to pour out his love upon all the world. But he cannot deliver the world from wrath. What? Until they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so we understand that from the teachings of the scriptures. By the way, when you think about elect and election and choosing and all those things, remember in the context, you may find that, well, God chose this person for that, yeah. Or God elected this person for that, yeah. But still, that in itself doesn't say the foundation of the election. Was there a reason God chose them? God could say, I chose you to be saved. That would be absolutely true. He chose you to be saved because you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You see, he chose you to be saved doesn't speak at all to the foundation of the choice. Was there a reason he chose that? Or did he just choose it specifically for no reason? You know, I don't want to hear anything. I want to pick you. You know, no reason at all. I just choose you. You know, you see what I'm saying? So when you say God chose, just that phrase or that teaching in that particular, without context, doesn't tell you anything about the foundation if there was a foundation for the choice. You have to get that from other contexts of the scripture, from the whole context of the Bible. Remember that when you're studying these things out on your own. So we're called God's elect. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Do this. Put these on. Bowels of mercies. That's the deep compassions. Where do you get that from? Christ, the Holy Spirit. Can a lost person put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering? They can't do that. You can't do that until you're saved, amen. And then you can do that. You can't put on the new man until you're saved. Thank God, when you're born again in Christ, you are made a new creature. That's brand new. You are fixed in that sense. You're changed the moment you trust Christ as your Savior. And thank God for that. But the fact is, there's a yielding to the Spirit after we're saved, is there not? I like what Agent Rogers says when he says when you got saved, God didn't fix you so you couldn't sin, but he did fix you so you couldn't enjoy sin. Yeah. And we find our joy and that peace in life as believers as we walk with the Lord and fulfill his will. And we put on the new man. Though Christ is in us, we're still not robots. We still have a will, don't we? We still can say no to God, unfortunately. We're still able to sin. One day, by the way, God's going to fix that. Amen. And it's not going because he's going to make us robots. He's just going to pull that part out of us, the old nature. And that love for him, praise God, and that desire for him will be all that's left as far as our nature goes. And that'll be a wonderful, wonderful time. These things are in the believer, are in the elect. John also addresses the saved as the elect in his letters in 2 John. We read 2 John 1:1, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also they that have known the truth. And then verse 13 of 2 John, the children of thy elect sister greet thee. Now there's two different views as to who's John's talking about, the elect lady, elect sister. Some believe he is speaking to a spiritual woman, a matron in the church, and she is a spiritual woman, a servant in the church, being used of God, kind of like Phoebe and from Centuria there, and was used in the church greatly. Some say it's John's phrase to symbolize a church that he's writing to, but either way, he's talking to what? Someone in the church. He's talking to either the church or a Christian. As a Christian in the body of Christ, you are part of the elect, and so either way, it fits that the church is the elect in that purpose. Now, the Calvinists want to tell us, talk about context. The Calvinists want to tell us, well, yeah, you need the context to know the foundation. Look at Ephesians 1, 4. We'll look here for a little bit for the rest of our time. Ephesians 1. That theological definition we mentioned about election is generally pulled from two places. Romans 9, we've already studied that, every word in there, every illustration, everything, not in there. Romans 9, we've studied that. Here's another place that they pull that from and try to defend that definition. Ephesians 1, he says, Paul, an apostle by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Who did he bless? The saints. With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's the difference between the election of Israel and the election of the church. Israel was elect and blessed with what? Earthly blessings as a nation. The church has been elected to be blessed with what? Spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's one of the differences between our election, what God has chosen us believers to. But he says, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And they would say, see that? He chose us in him. And they interpret that he chose us to be in him before the foundation of the world. That's how they interpret that. And and it's according to the good pleasure of his will. Well, what was it based on? Just the good pleasure of his will. Nothing had nothing to do with your works, had nothing with to do with some foreseen faith. That's what they'll tell you. By the way, when it says here, verse 4, he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. If that did mean he'd chosen us to be saved, does it tell if it was based on anything there? No. What if the good pleasure of his will was to save those who he foreknew would believe? What about that? If he chose us to be in him, what if he chose us, what if he decided, well, he did choose us to be in him. What if that was based on the fact that he foreknew who would believe? You see, it doesn't say there if that was the case. So even if that was the case, that wouldn't give the final answer in Ephesians 1:4. Because there could have been a foundation for that choosing of who would be saved. That's not mentioned in Ephesians 1:4. Even if it meant that. The part I like is it doesn't even mean that. It doesn't even mean that. In Ephesians 1:4, according to he had chosen us in him. That word in is the preposition en in Greek. And it deals with something that is in a fixed position. Unmovable, not changing. There are, let's look at this phrase throughout, before I get too far ahead of myself, let's look at this phrase. This phrase in him, in Christ, is replete in this chapter. Look at Ephesians 1:1. To the faithful in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:4 we just read. He hath chosen us in him. Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In him. By the way, the beloved there is Christ. We know by the next verse. Verse 7. In whom? That's the beloved. In whom we have redemption through his blood. So we have, in a sense, we have in Christ, in him, in the beloved, in whom, all referring really to the same thing, referring to Christ. Verse 10, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. There it is again. Both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. There it is again. Verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of glory first trusted in Christ. In whom? There it is, you also trusted. In whom also you believed. And so we see in him, in Christ. But that Greek word there, in, is a fixed position. There are three prepositions that are key here. One is the Greek preposition ek. Ek means out of or from. Ek. And then there's ace. Ace means into. So if I and n means a fixed position, When we went to leave the house, we got into the car. That's ace. When we were on our way to church, we were in the car. Now that's N. We were in the fixed position in the car. When we got to church, we got out of the car. That's ek. So you have into, ace, and in, and ek, out of. The word here is en. God has chosen us in Christ, already in the fixed position of Christ. By the way, God has chosen us. Chosen is in the middle voice in the Greek, And what that means is God has chosen us for himself in Christ. It's what the Greek is saying in the whole. God has chosen us for himself in the fixed position of Christ. It's not talking about us getting into Christ from being lost. Obviously not talking us coming out of Christ. It's God already foreseeing what? Who would be in Christ is what it's saying there. He has chosen us in Christ. And we see that before the foundation of the world. So it has the idea, associate the idea of motion or transfer. Some phrases that you might recognize that deal with our calling. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. What the word is there? You got it. Ace. By one Spirit we aren't baptized in Christ. We're baptized into Christ by the Spirit. Ace. Your chosen generation, 1 Peter 2:9, a holy nation, a peculiar people that you should be show forth the praise of in, who hath called you, not elect, different word there, who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, there's a transition there. But when you're in, and now that you have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, you are now in Christ. That's where you're at right now if you're born again. And by the way, that's where you were at in God's mind when he chose you. And see, that was the election. And here's the key, what Jesus talked about. It's not that he chose you to salvation. It's that he chose the saved, and it's what he chose them for. He chose those who already knew would be saved in his mind, already in the fixed position of Christ, already having trust in him, been born again, already been baptized into that one body, already now in the fixed position. And he chose them what? That we should be to the praise of the glory of his grace. You see, that's what he chose us for. He says right here. And why should we be to the praise of the glory of his grace? Because look at all he's done. Look at verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. By the way, that adoption is not your salvation. Okay? That adoption is that new body you're going to receive. Paul says we're waiting for the adoption. We have the spirit of adoption. Because we have the spirit in us, we are going to be resurrected. The same spirit that raised up Jesus dwells in us, and he also is going to raise us up, the Bible says. Paul says we are waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Okay? The adoption. Hey, we're predestined unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. See, the Roman adoption, it was a public showing. And the Jews, it was a public showing. It was a time when a child was officially and publicly declared as an heir. That was the adoption. They'd been a child before, but they were still under tutors. They weren't ready to take over the responsibilities of adulthood yet, that child. But the adoption was a public showing. It was a public declaration. They're now mature. They're now my heir. And that's what, by the way, that's what our adoption is. You see, right now you're saved. And there's only two people that you can know for sure you're saved. That's who? You and God. At the adoption, when you're taken out of here, guess what? Everybody's going to know it. You know, when all of a sudden, if the Lord comes before we die and you're gone, along with all the other Christians, guess what your family's going to know? Hopefully there won't be any of them here, amen? But guess what the lost world's going to know? They were one of them. That's a public declaration. When God takes you out of here, he gives you that new body, whether it's coming out of the grave and you go up in the air, God's saying to all, these are mine. And there's no more any doubt about it. Now the world, they knew it, I knew it when they were here, and now the world knows it. That's your adoption. in him. So we see this election that we're called to. Let's look at, we talked about a task. And favor. What is that favor? He says, look at Ephesians 1:1. It's to those that are in Christ. Grace be to you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's favor. By the way, that grace and peace he's talking about there, he can't give to the lost, what, till they're saved. Amen? That's for the saved. That's favor from God for his elect. Favor that has come our way. He has blessed us, what? With all spiritual heavenly places in Christ. Everyone in Christ, there it is. There's favor. All of heaven is at your disposal in order to enable you to do the will of God on this earth. And inheritance awaits us there. We see that favor there. He has chosen us in him. We should be holy without blame before him in love. And that can be taken a couple ways. It can be taken as a task. It can be taken as a favor. God sees us as holy through in Christ. And he loves us unconditionally in Christ. And in our walk, we are also what? Supposed to love God. We can love God more. We can grow in our love toward God. And we are called to what? Walk blamelessly before others. And so there's kind of a double side to that there. We are what? Predestinated. There's favor. Amen. And honor, by the way. Being called the elect. Just the term elect is honor that God has put upon us because we're his children, we're his elect. You know, what was it John says, the grace he's bestowed upon us, that we should what? Be called the sons of God? That's an honor. And elect is a title of honor. Honor and favor. And I mentioned at verse 6, why? To the praise of the glory of his grace. What did we just sing? Oh, praise his name forever. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Our lives are supposed to be, in word and in deed, are supposed to be pouring out to praise to God continually for all that he's done for us. All that he's given us in Christ. All the love he's shown us. All the favor he's shown us. And he has made us accepted in the beloved. Accepted in the beloved. And we started in 1 Peter 2:6. Let's look there real quick. 1 Peter 2:6. Keep going past it. 1 Peter 2:6. Yeah, that wasn't the one I was thinking. Verse 5, "You also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." You know how our services are acceptable to God? Only by Jesus Christ. You see, those things that we do in the flesh have no rewards in heaven, do they? It's those things, what? That Christ does from within us that God receives, that are acceptable, that bring rewards. We're acceptable in that. And look at back there in Ephesians. That acceptable is the same idea back there in Ephesians. To the praise of the glory of his grace, there's our purpose, wherein he hath made us, what to say? Accepted in the beloved. Accepted in the beloved. You see, we are accepted in Jesus Christ, and we are acceptable, and our works are accepted as Jesus Christ does them through us. Our acceptance, what, is all based on Jesus Christ. You see that? And where the theological definition of election goes wrong is, they say that you were accepted before Jesus Christ. They say that God apart from anything else, what you do with Christ included, chose to save you. He chose to save some people. Some people were accepted to God apart from the Beloved, is what they said. And then because he had accepted them, he put them in the Beloved. That doesn't work out here. You see, because we're accepted what? In the Beloved. And we're acceptable to God all through the Beloved. He's the elect. He is the focal point of the Bible, and by the way, the focal point of all history. You know, I think part of where we get it wrong is in America, in our culture, in weddings, who's the main figure? It's the bride. It's all about the bride in our culture. That wasn't so in Jewish culture. You know who the main character was in the Jewish wedding? The groom. It was the groom. And I want you to know, in heaven, it's not about you and me. Matter of fact, on earth, it's not about you and me. Let me tell you, it's all about the groom. It's all about Jesus Christ. And when we get to heaven, all of us who know that His Holy Spirit has worked through us and He has allowed us to serve Him, we are going to cast those crowns right at His feet, brethren. And we ought to desire to have those crowns, amen, to cast at His feet, knowing that we have been a channel of blessings and that He's worked through us. That's what He has called us all to in Christ and enabled us for that, showed us favor, given us honor for that task. Peter said what? Be ye holy what? For I am holy. All these are part of our election as believers. Because we're saved. We weren't chosen beforehand to be saved. No, God had a plan for that. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, that salvation itself. It is the gift of God, not of works. There's the definition. The steady man should vote. What does it mean, that not of yourself? I'm not talking about the faith, I'm talking about the works. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That those two verses define themselves. They define what they're talking about in the context. And thank God that He made salvation available to all. All we need to do is trust in Him, and we become the saved. We become the church. We become the elect. In the elect. Amen. Because we're in Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the grace that's come to us in Christ Jesus, full of grace and truth, and we've of His mercy and grace have always received, You said, and grace for grace, grace upon grace. God, we couldn't handle the truth without that. And Father, we thank You for Your grace and mercies, and we do praise our Lord Jesus Christ. We are reminded in the study in the morning, in the Sunday school hour, of the humbling of Christ who willingly came, knowing that in order to accomplish our salvation, it would be necessary for Him to do that, and yet willingly choosing to do that. Father, we thank You and we praise You for that. We thank You for the opportunity that we have to tell others and to praise Your name and to continually share the wonderful news of John 3:16 and so many other scriptures. To continually mention Philippians, where our Lord Jesus has been given a name above all names, that all will bow before Him. And He is the Savior and the forgiver of sins. And Father, we thank You that we have been called to honor Your Son even as we honor the Father. And Father, if we don't do that, we don't even honor You, You said. Father, we thank You that we can worship Christ. We thank You for salvation. We thank You for this time of year. Give us a fullness, a genuine love by Your Spirit for the lost. And Father, for the saved, that we might be a part in edifying one another. And Lord, doing the things that You've called us to do, the tasks that You have elected us to, Heavenly Father, taking advantage of the favors You've bestowed upon us and the goodness You provided for us, Father, to accomplish through Your Word and by Your Spirit for the glory of Your Son, all that You have called us to in this Christian life. And Father, help us to be careful to thank You and praise You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. But Charlie, would you come and close us tonight?